Hockey.
No.
Hey.
Hey, man.
How's it going?
Good.
Before we start, I'd like you to go to NHL.com.
Yeah, I'm there.
You're there.
Where am I going? What am I looking?
Go to, on the right side, the top headlines, go to watch inside the lottery selection process.
Okay.
I'd like you to click that link.
Okay, so not the Oilers. Okay, this one. Yeah.
The one where the balls, the one with
just
the balls.
Just watch, yeah.
And I'd like us to watch it together. Because
okay.
To me, this is blowing my mind.
Oh, let me just maybe lower the volume here a bit so it doesn't come up. Oh, my God.
Okay, so I'm right now,
that's
I'm
the,
16, 17 seconds in, 18, 19.
Okay, I'm 14. I'll
so just go up.
I'll jump ahead a little bit.
Like 5 seconds or so.
Okay.
So we have Gary Bettman holding up the Globe and Mail right now, today's newspaper.
Oh my God.
So this is a video of the lottery process. This is a video, an official video made by the NHL to show its fans.
Are you sure it's the NHL or was it made by your local community college media center?
I don't know, man. The guy's holding...
This looks pretty budget.
It seriously looked like they're using a very high quality, for sure, video. But it looks like the guy's holding up a phone.
Well, what video is not high
look at
quality
this.
These days?
Okay,
now we're on the executives?
Now we're on the executives. There's a spotlight showing across the executives. Everyone's dark.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my... Is that Ricky Gervais? Okay. No. That dude looked like him. Oh my gosh, this is so bad. This reminds me of
it's the ultimate budget.
It just looks like, hey, let's rent out, you know, a room in the Hilton, a little conference room, and we'll have like our team building session there, you know, like our in-service. It reminds me of that,
the
like some small company kind of doing that. It's not steady, it's not centered, it's not... Oh, here, what are these? Oh, these are the cases.
Oh, yeah.
Are you on the cases?
They have the balls in...
Those are some pretty secure locks there, those little plastic locks. Oh, my God.
And you know what they're locking up? They're locking up ping pong balls numbered 1 to 14 because those need to be locked up.
Yep.
Just so they're not weighted, I guess.
You can doctor those.
Okay, okay, that's why they're locked up.
Yeah.
So,
oh man, this is bad. I honestly think like I haven't lived in the States for many, many years, but I do remember, you know, growing up and being younger, sort of late night. Well, not late night, I guess it was kind of evening, maybe after dinner. You had those like local kind of state lottery shows, and they honestly did a better job than this.
This is ridiculous. There's actually no,
you know, sizzle
it's,
you can,
to the
you can
entire
see,
show.
Look at this. You can see like the cords. Look at behind. You can see the outlets. You see the cords lying around. You have this
look at
the
visual.
That's like a table. That's
it
just like an MS
looks...
Word table. Insert table.
I'm really taken aback by how low quality and how much effort was put into this. He has to move out of the way.
Oh,
the cameraman
my gosh.
Actually
and there's glare. There's
in.
Just glare on the screen.
It's just, I don't, okay. So this really bothered me.
Yeah.
This truly bothered me.
I didn't see this
me.
Part.
This
I just
is
saw
what...
the, I saw the envelope.
Yes.
I didn't see this today. I was out and about after watching hockey
this
morning.
Well, this didn't
so.
Come up till later.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. Yeah, I remember because they just had the presentation.
And I don't understand.
That, yeah.
Why don't they show this process? Basically, the way the lottery is, I'm going to pause it. I'm going to pause the video here.
I'll keep going here. Yeah.
So basically the way the lottery is decided is they put 14 balls into this glass tube that blows air and moves these ping pong balls around. And the little boy in the back, because he's actually like probably 18, clicks one of those little buttons. And it sucks up one of the ping pong balls, and they choose four of these ping pong balls.
They choose four.
That's right. And this sequence of numbers represents a team, right?
Yeah, basically, I read about that as we were leading up to this day. Yeah, each team has so there are 1,000 combinations of numbers that you can get.
And each team is allotted X number of combinations.
Yeah, so Buffalo at 20%, they have 200. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you're still looking at a video, aren't you? Well,
no, but when he opened the case, the balls were like all moving around. So he had to put them back in the middle.
I know, and they're not in order anymore. So he's out there trying to find the right number to put next.
Oh my gosh. So Buffalo has 200 combinations. So the teams have these. They've already been assigned these combinations.
Yeah, so Buffalo had more combinations.
Yeah, and then Arizona has 135, Edmonton has 115, and then so on and so on. So I think a lot of the SB Nation blogs, you know, especially I know like the Leafs blog, Pension Plan Puppets, right?
Yeah.
They actually put their combinations online, so you could see those 135 combinations and kind of follow along, I guess, if... Well, I guess you would watch this later then. But anyway, yeah, so...
This should be the live event.
Well, not... You would hope not this.
Well, not this like is this. Sort so of a, what I was thinking, what they should have done is they should have had... First of all, they should have a board with all the combinations up. And as a ball pops up, that all the teams that don't have that ball, those combinations just disappear. Pew, pew. And what's left are just the emblems of the teams that are left.
Yeah, some like animation and little music and some you know, spotlights and yeah, exactly.
Yeah, spotlight on each manager or each representative at least.
Or like you said, you have all the teams up there, and then you sort of the teams go dark, right?
Yeah, exactly.
As the combination starts to come out, you know, the teams that can't have this possible combination or something.
And you'll be left. Yeah. You'll be left with one ball left to go. And that last team is probably going to be two or three teams left on the board. You know what I mean? Instead of 14.
Right,
and we'll get really...
So here we got 5, 14, 6. Okay, so yeah, this is what I saw on Twitter today. Is a lot of people were saying Toronto had 5, 14, and 6. And the last ball ended up being a 1, which obviously they didn't get. That went to Edmonton. But...
Oh yeah, Edmonton won.
Yeah, which we haven't even gotten into yet. But but at that point, the 5-14-6. Yeah, I was reading on Twitter that Edmonton actually had four. Their chance of getting that last ball, that combination, was 4 times higher than any other team. You know, over Arizona, over Buffalo, over Edmonton, and then they didn't get it. So, of course, that was sort of the joke was, one final collapse by the Leafs, to end the season here.
He would have looked good in a Toronto jersey.
Yeah, he would have. Oh, here we go. Here's this table again. Oh, wow.
Yeah, the table in the back. Yeah,
this table is, this is literally like an MS Word, insert table. You know, I'd like 1, 2, 3, 4 columns, please.
The entire show is
15
bush
rows. Yeah, this is bad. This is really bad. Like, man, sell your... This is the biggest deal since Crosby, right? So, I mean, sell the crap out of this thing, man. Hire up a... Oh, my God. I can see the wires and cords behind Gary Bettman on the floor here.
I just don't understand. I don't understand why they don't see this as an opportunity to sell the game.
Yeah, man, have like a game show host come on here. Or not a host, but, someone that creates these game shows and, like, get a little...
Totally.
A little, like, spectacle.
Why is Bettman the face right there?
I don't know. This is
why
bad.
Is he talking?
Ah, there's the... Okay, that's how they did it. So there's the golden... ticket for Edmonton in the envelope there.
That's right, which Bill Daly opens up live on Sportsnet.
Oh, so that's it. Okay, I just saw that. So what I saw today before the Pittsburgh New York game was this guy here in the blue shirt and red tie walks out.
That's
so
right.
So this all happened before. Okay.
So this is just a pre. Yeah, exactly. The pre-show,
so that's who that
to
guy
the actual
is.
Live show. This was all going on in the back room.
Oh my gosh.
This was all going on in the back room. Why isn't this the show?
This honestly was recorded on somebody's iPhone or like Samsung Galaxy. This is so bad.
He's just shaking away.
Yeah, this is...
There's so much you could do with this.
I don't know why you don't sell this. Sell this, make it a build-up, make it a show. You know, everyone was talking about this today in the hockey world. So, I mean, just do something with it. Incorporate it in a way that's fun and exciting and gets people involved, you know?
It just backs up exactly what Keith Olbermann said on the ESPN today, or a couple of days, or yesterday, or whatever it was. Just that, you know, hockey's great sport. Amazing sport to watch, fun to follow, just keeps dropping the ball when it comes to being able to market itself.
Yeah, you're right. I saw that too. That was on, I don't know, I guess it was on wherever
it was. ESPN,
but,
yeah.
But I saw it. I saw it on Bar Down, right?
Oh yeah, the clip is on Bar Down.
Yeah, right. That's where I saw it today. But yeah, man, you're right. I mean, I don't, this is...
So anyway, so that's it. That's all. Again, the NHL drops the ball when it comes to being able to market itself, being able to... When you think a guy like LeBron James is making a decision and they can market the crap out of that decision, you know, to a fault.
And it's just called the decision.
And it's just called right? decision. It was just... And this is you know, the fate of 14 franchises could be changed for the next 10, 20 years.
The fate of sort of the NHL here too, right? This is the next poster boy. This guy's gonna,
he could be.
No matter where he ends up, is gonna sort of change the balance of that him, division. And maybe Eichel could be
that boy too. You know?
Yeah.
It's just I don't know. He looks dropping like the ball.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, but that makes it though. Did you see that video of him a few weeks ago?
No, what was it?
It was a Vine. He was partying with his buds, and he basically he goes up.
Okay.
He goes up to the camera. He goes, "Buffalo, I'm coming for you." And then he chugs his Bud Light.
Oh, excellent.
Did you see that?
Well, he is going there. you go.
I mean, it wasn't hard to predict. He had a much higher chance of going to Buffalo than McDavid did. McDavid had a 20% chance of going. Yeah. He had an 80%.
Yeah, you sort of got the feeling that it just wasn't going to happen for Buffalo, right? Coming down the stretch here. I don't know if we talked about it last time or not, but I was sort of feeling Arizona or maybe even Toronto. There was a part of me that really thought he's going to end up in Toronto.
I thought some part of me did think it was, Toronto was going to be the team. So, yeah. Although, you know what? Oilers, it is what it is. Now what?
It is. And we talked about that too, like those... That's something I saw today too. That was our last podcast. We talked about the anti-tanking kind of method, like the reverse standings.
That's right.
So the teams that are eliminated early, or just you know whenever they're eliminated, the team that gets the most points after they're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs
should get
the first overall pick. And that was Edmonton. They were eliminated on March 10th, and they got 15 points after that. Yeah, Buffalo was second. They were eliminated on March 8th, but they only got 11 points. And, you know,
the hockey gods are smiling on us here.
Yeah, exactly. And it's sort
in
of
some way.
Fair and deserving, I guess, in some way. And, you know, when they got rid of, what's his name? When they traded Enroth to Dallas, that was when
goalies.
They sort of, it was just like, hey, we don't expect to save. We don't expect to do anything after this. And, you know, that could have been the difference. They could have gotten maybe 4 or 5 points out of that. Who knows? But yeah, so those, you know, anti-tanking reverse standings that sort of came through this year. Yeah.
So what do you think? What does it mean for Edmonton now?
I think I'm okay with it.
Are they
going to
be trading one of their young guys?
Well,
should they be trading one of their young guys?
They got to bring in someone that can really mentor this kid because right now I don't think they have that. Like I don't know if
you don't think Taylor Hall's the guy to bring that kid.
Well, nobody there knows how to win, right? And this is a real special kid, so I think.
Well, Andrew Ferentz has won a cup.
Yeah, but he's
and he's a pillar of the community, going out for runs at 6 o'clock in the morning with people. That...
Yeah, look, Andrew Ferentz is like super good guy, you know. Environmentalist, all around good guy,
cyclist,
you know, supports the LGBT community, all
true.
That stuff. He's I'm not being like facetious or sarcastic. Like he's a really good guy, but he just doesn't have the skill set to lead on the ice. And so I think you need to. That would be a start. You know, bring in like at least like a number two defenseman that can help out that blue line, someone that's sort of, you know, more experienced. It's a very specific player I think they need, right? Someone that's good, someone that's experienced, someone that can mentor these kids a bit better. So they need a number one defenseman. Well, they need that for sure, but that's hard to get. You're going to have to give up, a Yakupov. I'd say that's where the conversation starts, him and someone else, or him and a high draft pick. The thing is, as well, is you have Darnell Nurse, right? This guy could be a really good player for them on the blue line. And so I think he's coming in next year as well. He'll be on the team.
But you got to look at Nashville, too. Seth Jones is there, and he's not cracking the top two. And he's an unbelievable defenseman.
Darnell Nurse, he's going to be real good, yeah. But, you know, again, you've got Weber there. I mean, that sort of worked out perfect for Seth Jones. Exactly. You know, falling
so they need a Weber. Like he did. Basically, they need a Weber.
Well, yeah, what team doesn't? But, yeah, Edmonton really does need someone like that.
But that's what I mean. Like, what do they really need, though?
Yeah.
Right? They need a Weber type.
It. Yeah.
A lower level of a Weber type, I guess, would be a Byfuglien type.
Just a guy with
spunk who can get some mortar
but
in
who
there,
also
I guess.
Has the skills that can really lead on to the back ice, it up you know. And that's what I mean, like Ferentz is a great guy, I know he's their captain, but is he really, you know, I don't know how much the kids, you know, respond to him. I have no idea if they do or don't.
I just don't know if they're gonna be able to find anything on the market, and I don't think their assets are worth as much as they think they're worth on the market. I don't think Yakupov is worth that much on, you know, we're talking about a top two defenseman. I don't know if you can grab that with Yakupov. I don't know if you can grab that with Eberle. You can definitely grab it with Hall, but they're not going to get rid of Hall. Why would you get rid of Hall? He's worth a top two or number one defenseman.
Yeah. You know who I think is a UFA this year? Isn't Brent Seabrook a UFA this year?
That would be a nice pickup.
I wonder if...
He's not as good without Keith, but...
No, he's not, but he definitely fills that number two role. I mean, he's that good, right? I mean, he would obviously be their number one, but he's not that far out of place, right? And he's one, you know. I mean, let's not forget, this is a guy that had to calm down Jonathan Toews a few years ago.
True.
You know, when he was sort of going through a meltdown in that Detroit series, Seabrook was the guy that came over in the game and just put his hand, you know,
that
on the back of his head
perfect.
And calmed him down. And, you know, this guy could be a real good leader for them. Someone like that is what they're going to need. You know, they got a good young forward group now. Their center spot is dialed in for the next 8-10 years. You know, they're good.
Well, I mean, it's ridiculous just grabbing Connor. But add Connor to, you know, Hopkins and Draisaitl.
Yep.
And you've got yourself a top three deck that will rival.
In a couple years, I can't see any team in the league having anything better than that. You know, it'll take a little time for it to come together, but yeah, that's going to be tops in the league. Or like you said, at least, you know,
rival.
It rivals, you know, it's on, you know, it's parallel with other teams. I don't think anyone's going to have anything much better than that.
So it'll be interesting to see what they do in the offseason. They do have work to do. They have a lot of work to do, but they've just grabbed one of the biggest pieces you can grab, you know, a true number one centerman.
Yeah, and I sort of feel good for them because I sort of feel like, you know, with like Crosby, Tavares,
they did get shafted Stamkos, on the number ones, apart from Taylor Hall.
With all these, you know, really great Canadian players not in Canada, kind of, you know, and that's with all due respect to like, you know, Carey Price and PK and, you know, maybe like Giordano and these other Canadian players in Canada on Canadian teams. But I sort of feel like, you know, the next great Canadian player, you know, that's cool that he's there, right? I mean...
Yeah, I just don't know if the NHL thinks so.
Well, no, not in Edmonton. Toronto, yes. Montreal, yes. Vancouver, maybe. You know, Winnipeg, maybe. Edmonton, no. I'm sure they don't think that.
But maybe it's time to rethink how you market the game. Maybe it's time to rethink that, you know, the Canadian teams aren't evil.
If they're successful, I don't think it's that they're evil. I think it's just
I don't think they find great success if the Canadian team, if a Canadian team wins the cup. Because we all know, you know, the deeper these Canadian teams get, especially if Ottawa gets deep, or, you know, an Edmonton or a Calgary get deep, or Vancouver gets deep, the numbers go down.
Yeah, and that's sort of and that's kind of a hard thing because, you know, you do get everyone up north. It's like, who cares? you know, we don't, you know, why do we need to sell this game to, you know, to people in Nashville? But you do, because that's, there's still a lot of money down there. And
it's a lot of money, you know, and it widens the talent pool too.
Yeah, for sure. And so that's why it makes for better hockey. Yeah, and it sort of makes sense that, like, you know, a McDavid in Arizona would have been great. That's going to grow the game. Yeah. You're not going to grow the game. You're not getting any new hockey fan in Edmonton at all. But, you know, at the same time, their fans have gone through a lot, you know, and they're always there, and they're supporting a really bad
team. They're the sweater-throwing capital of the world.
Yeah, yeah, and a team that continues to make horrible decisions, you know, the management team there in that organization.
That's one thing that's got to change.
And so, yeah, I think...
Edmonton's got an opportunity right now with McDavid to start fresh, and they need to clean house. They need to do something with management.
They should do what Toronto did, and just kind of clean house, because they don't draft very well outside of these number one picks.
A big problem, right?
Yeah, and that's how you build your team, right? That's how every successful team. It's the second round on that you got to get your second players. Round. And so, yeah, maybe you look really hard at that scouting staff. And
Weber was a second rounder.
Yeah, and we just said PK too. PK was a second rounder too. Yeah. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, right? I mean, that's most of the players, you know, it's second round on.
Well, exactly. Obviously. Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, just by sheer numbers, that's what it is, right? So, hopefully they do something with this. I mean, now you're really interested in Edmonton. I mean, before you know, this year there was a point where you're just sick of them. You know, you don't care. They're garbage again. Who cares? I don't want to talk about them. But now, you know, all of a sudden this just changes everything. And Vancouver's probably thinking...
Although McTavish did say something today. He's like, you happy, blah, blah, blah. And he's just like, yeah, offense wins hockey games. And you're just looking, you're just listening to him. You're just like, oh my God, are you not learning anything?
You're just not going to learn.
Offense wins hockey games.
Yeah. Oh God. Okay.
If you have the puck, it does.
But that's the thing, you know, does Edmonton have a, you know, who's their...
You got to get the puck Gretzky, first.
Their Anderson, their Curry, their Messier, like, they're building that slowly. They don't have that yet.
They keep sucking,
you know,
like this.
They still don't have a Grant Fuhr. Who's their Paul Coffey? You know, who's their Charlie Huddy? They need these defensemen. You know, who's their Kevin Lowe? They need these guys. They don't have that. So that's that old school Oiler mentality that's really got to change.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. If you're the owners right now, if you're the Edmonton owners.
That's another problem.
I mean, are you really... I don't know what the relationship is there, but that just sort of hit me. Are you thinking right now, okay, I'm kind of sick of Mac T. You've messed up enough... There's no way I'm giving you even a chance to mess this up.
The owner's a fanboy.
Yeah.
You have pictures of him being behind the bench as a kid when Edmonton won those cups. You know, a season ticket holder at the time. He's a fanboy.
Yeah. Ugh. Well, I don't
know. Which is great, because he wants to keep the team in Edmonton, but...
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, you know, yeah.
Not great when it comes to picking managers or sticking with them for just too long.
I don't know.
Although I will say this though. Kevin Lowe is a lucky charm when it comes to winning first overalls.
Oh my God.
I think if anything, you would want him on your team just as a lucky charm.
Yeah, just for that shot. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's... So you saw a lot of that today. People just, you know, Edmonton again. Are you kidding me? There were a lot of people that were really disappointed, upset, flat out just angry, you know, livid about that.
I think if you're Calgary, you should be angry.
Well, I think if you're anyone in the Pacific now, not LA, not Anaheim, and that includes, a Calgary. That also includes a Vancouver now, where you're just kind of like, you know, Vancouver's an older team. Yeah, you've got your Bo Horvats and your Eddie Lacks, but
Vancouver's had success, you know, recently.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. They're good, but that window is what I'm saying isn't. They don't have a big window.
No.
You know, I mean, that window is sort of, you know, shutting. They've put together a good season. You know, I think they'll come through in this series. But, you know, you got to think Edmonton's just going to be nipping at everyone's heels now. And after a couple of years, they're going to get there. So, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, let's talk hockey. Let's talk playoff hockey. Not much. I mean, there's not much to say because we're still only two games in. Every series is tied except for the Ducks and the Jets, and also the Habs and the Sens. Yeah. Instead of going through all the series, which series do you... give me two series that you find truly exciting to watch. And I'll try to pick two of mine.
Well, that's really hard because I have liked a lot of them. The first two games have been really good between the Habs and Sens. That first game was all kinds of drama going on, which was fun. And then you had everything, you know, after that game one with you know, the Slash and,
that's right,
you know, David Cameron and Brian Murray and Mark Stone and PK and
playing politics
sort of,
all the
yeah,
way.
The sort of war of words there. And
man, PK was coached. PK coached by the PR department to a T. Did you hear?
Yeah, and that was the difference right there, because David Cameron just sounded he sounded like the rookie coach that he is, you know. And it was just like, man, just all you got to do is just say what you need to say there, which is it's playoff hockey. I didn't like it, you know, but it's playoff hockey.
But he just lost the game, though, right?
Yeah, and we were lucky to get that call. You know, we got a goal out of it. Mark Stone's a young player. Yeah, they did get two goals, right. Mark Stone's a young player. This is his first playoffs, so he's going to learn. You know, I'm proud of that kid for being tough and hanging in there. And then in the dressing room, that's when you go crazy. You know, that's when you tell your boys, hey, boys, free shots on Pacioretty. Free shots on Plekanec. Well, yeah, that should be a given. But, yeah, he's sort of...
But you're not allowed to say that. You can't. Yeah. You can't tell your... That was the whole Bertuzzi
thing. Oh, yeah, you can't do that. Yeah, and you can't put money on the board. And
nope.
You can't date those things.
Can't yeah. do that.
No, I'm sure none of that happens. So anyway, yeah, that's how I think you should have handled it, and probably most people felt that way. But it's hard to argue any more drama than that series.
Yeah, and then coming out that Subban threatened them. I mean, come on. As if. Every single Sens player does not say something to every opposition player.
Yeah. Well, and then the whole Chris Neal thing, and then it's like, this guy doesn't even play. And it's just like, come on.
They're just trying to scare him.
Yeah. But, well, then do something. You know,
but that's what happened.
You watch game two, and nothing happened.
Nothing. Less than
it was
nothing
just,
happened.
It was just a game. It was a game, and it was a pretty good game, and Ottawa got one late, and it went into overtime, and you were thinking... Or at least I was thinking, you know, they might just sort of pull this out. Even though they've been outplayed most of this game, they might pull this out, even it up, you know, knot it up at one
true.
Game apiece and head back to Ottawa. But
especially,
you know,
that every
that
other
way.
Series was getting tied up at the time, too.
Yeah, exactly. I think the other one for me is, sorry, I'm sort of talking over you a lot here, but I don't know about, like, the quality of play is always there, but the... You know, to have a game go to double overtime in game one,
Chicago.
The Chicago-Nashville game when Nashville blew that 3-0 lead. They lose in overtime 4-3 in double overtime after giving up four straight goals.
They blew that 3-0 lead with Pekka Rinne in nets too.
Yeah, and you sort of think, like, that's maybe it, man. Like, how do you recover from that?
True.
That's got to get in your heads, especially playing Chicago with Pat Kane back. But they come back. And they just smoke them in game two.
Yeah.
They put up six goals, which is the most
Colin Wilson, then.
So far, yeah.
Playing
turned into a good player for them. And
yeah, true first
that
rounder.
That team can, you know, this isn't the old Preds, right?
This team
can score.
Yeah, this isn't your daddy's Predators, now, and, man. This is a new and improved piss yellow Preds, man.
Yeah. God, those sweaters. Ugh. But yeah, so that's fun. But Weber's out. He took a hit from Saad sort of behind the play. I don't think it was dirty or anything, but he just sort of couldn't. You could tell
that's
it was his leg,
hurt.
His leg or his knee or his foot, you know, something.
It's definitely, not the end of the world for them because
going
they are
on
deep
that appendage.
On D. But
yeah, they're pretty deep on D, and you got Josi, who's real good. But that's a big loss, man. I mean, that's
heading into
Chicago. They got to split. You know, those two games, you got to get at least a split there.
I agree, it's
a big
loss because it's Weber, but I don't think it's the end of the world. I don't think it's in the same realm as if Montreal lost, you know, Markov and Subban kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, they do. Like you said, they're pretty deep defensively.
That's what I mean.
They've got other. I think Franzen is coming back, right? Or did he play in the last game?
Yeah, he finally played well.
Okay, right. So, yeah. So, you got him. Jones is playing well. Yeah. Ryan Ellis is playing pretty well, too.
That's what I mean. You've just named off three guys. You haven't even named Yossi yet.
Yeah, and then Yossi. Well, yeah, he's sort of the obvious one there.
So, right now, you've got two pairs deep.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you haven't even mentioned Weber. So, I it's a loss, for sure. But I don't think it's
And you got Rene and Nets. And you got Scott Darling now is going to start his first ever playoff game, right? Because Crawford has been bad.
There's the story.
He's sitting in game three, so... Yeah, so I'd say those two, you know. Anaheim, Winnipeg's been fun. It's been physical, but...
So for me, So since you picked those two, I'm going to go with New York and Pittsburgh as one of the most exciting series to follow.
Yeah, that just could turn into something.
So fast, so hard.
Yeah.
And Crosby's playing well, finally. Yep. He woke up in day two of the series. New York had the first pair. New York had the first game.
Yeah, and that was a close one. That was just 2-1, right? So
it was a duel. Like it was definitely a goalie duel, and Lundqvist won it out. But Fleury's been playing well, and he's been tight. Yeah. And with Crosby coming back, he's the type of player that's really hard to stop because of the way he plays when he plays well. He's a ground and out player. His bread and butter is his speed and the little movements he does, but also getting open. That guy can get open. And he can find people out of everywhere.
Yeah, I think if you're the Penguins, you got to sort of feel pretty good about yourselves because, you know, no one gave him a chance. They sort of limped into the playoffs. They basically got in because they had Buffalo the last game of the season, right? And, you know, you've got no Letang, no Erhoff, no Mata. Malkin's not even really going yet. No. He's playing, but he's not, you know, he hasn't been producing yet.
He's playing in spurts right now.
You know, and then the first game's a close one. You win the second one. It's 4-3, but, you know, they had that 4-2 lead. And, you know, there were parts of that game where they were really outplaying them. And when it went 4-2, you were never... Or at least I didn't think like, oh, New York's going to come back and win this game. They had a couple power plays where it could have happened, but the Pens were really good. And you had Crosby out there killing penalties, which was great to see.
That's the one thing that Pittsburgh does is they take penalties. Man, did they take penalties.
Well, you know, Pittsburgh is they're the Eastern Conference Anaheim Ducks. Not that they're big and mean, but that they're dumb. They're just dumb. They're real dumb hockey team sometimes where it's really easy to get them off their game and quick too. And if you push those buttons like a Philly does, or if, you know, with the Ducks like a San Jose or an LA does, or sometimes Detroit when they used to play, it's really easy to get those two teams off their games. Yeah. But yeah, if I'm Pittsburgh, you're right, man. That's a good one. And you got to feel pretty good.
Stay out of the box and you should be okay. Yep. Yeah, next up for me, I'm going to say Anaheim and the Jets.
Yeah.
Just for the pure physicality of it.
Yeah. It's sort of like, this is the series that the big boys play in. Yeah.
And they're all enormous people.
They're all really big. You know when Blake Wheeler's flying around out there in Bufflin and they don't look that much bigger than other people, you know, on the ice.
You got guest laugh out there. You know who's playing physically is Cogliano.
He's sort of that, but he's just that sort of glue guy on that team where he's a real spark plug out there. He can really ignite that team outside of, you know, the obvious Perry and Getzlaff. He's a real good player for them.
And it's just been a really, really fun series. It's just been a fun series to watch in terms of just the pure physicality of it.
Yeah. And Winnipeg got to win these two at home because if they just even only win one of them, that sort of lights out for them. They can't come back from a 3-1. They got to take these two at home.
It's going to be rocking. I'm really looking forward to that.
That's going to be fun. Yeah, I'll definitely
be looking forward to that arena.
Game. Yeah.
And seeing the fans, whatever chance they can come up with. Yeah. Maybe something about Getzlaff's hair.
Hey, have you seen on Twitter, I can't, is it Justin Bourne or is it Bar Down? I think it might be Bar Down. But, you know, what they're doing is the score, right? So today you had a 2-1 score. So instead of showing 2-1 score, they're showing, like, pictures of Temu. You know, so today you had, like, two Anaheim Duck, you know, two Temu in his Anaheim sweater.
That's what that
and then
is.
You had, yeah, and then you had one Temu in his old Jets, you know, Winnipeg Jets sweater. And I didn't notice that either. The other day I kept seeing these pictures and I was just sort of going through the feed, not really paying attention. And then today I was like, oh, that's what it is. That's the final score.
I didn't get it at all.
Two Anaheim Temus and one, you know, you know, wins out. So, yeah, it was pretty good.
So, anyway, so those are my two favorite series to watch right now, apart from the two that you mentioned. Outside of that, of course, there's some good series out there with St. Louis, Minnesota, or Vancouver.
Yeah, that was a good game today, yeah.
Yeah, Vancouver, Calgary, and Washington, New York. Washington, New York.
Huge win for Washington. They went down 3-1 in that game, game two. Real gutsy, winning 4-3. They go down 2-0, headed back to...
And using a backup goalie.
You know, New York. Yeah, Hopi was out, so...
Halak just didn't play too well today.
Yeah.
And just really quickly, let's go through the rest. Your Detroit Red Wings are tied with the Tampa Bay Lightning 1-1, which is a bit of a surprise in some ways, but I guess not if you're thinking they're going to be out in six, not out in... in four straight.
Oh no, yeah, I no way they're gonna get swept. They're not that bad, and Tampa's not that.
Well, the way you talk about them, though, sometimes, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, just because you know it's sort of a you know it's a big fall, right? I mean, you know, it's not like we're talking 20, 30 years here. I mean, you just go back to 2009, and you've got a real good team, and even 2013, they're a goal away from the conference finals. So. They're just not the same team. I mean, these aren't your juggernaut Red Wings, and I don't know, until they do something with that blue line, they're just not going to get there. So, Mrazek was real good in game one, so was Datsyuk. Their penalty kill was phenomenal. They actually played a better game today. You know, they you know...
Although, defensively?
They made five defensive mistakes, and each time it was just in the back of the net.
They were blatant, though.
Well, they're bad. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, when they make mistakes,
doing that big circle.
And Eriksson, you know, the first goal, he screens his own goalie.
Leisurely sort of, walking across.
You know, I'm just out for a little Sunday skate, you know, it just... Brutal. But, you know, they'll go home. I don't think Tampa Bay is going to take two at home. I think Detroit will win one, and then Tampa Bay, you know, whether it's 2-1 Tampa Bay or 2-1 Detroit, you know, Tampa will just turn it on again. And, you know, they're just a better team. They're just a more talented team. They're faster. They're deeper. And so, you know, they're going to win. Yeah.
And then we've got the fights of Vancouver versus Calgary.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. And yeah, you know, and
it's just too bad because Calgary's first line is just not producing anything. I think Hudler's got zero shots on goals. There are rumors or speculation that Monahan is riding an injury right now. And Johnny Hockey is just not, you know, grabbing the space that he can in the regular season.
Yeah, well, I mean, for a kid, you know, that size and as a rookie, it's going to take him some time to figure out the playoffs, you know? And yeah, like you said, if they don't have that top line going, they're really in trouble because that's their big comeback line.
They
don't have a lot of secondary scoring. You get a little bit there with Stajan and some other guys, but not a lot, right? So
it's just Hudler, I find, is the catalyst of that line, and he's just not producing as he was.
Yeah. I mean, he had a career year, real good year for him. But if they're not going, you know, they're in trouble. Hiller can only do so much. Chris Russell scored again. God, he's been fantastic with Giordano out. But, you know,
Vancouver looks like they're, I don't know, grabbing a stranglehold on that series.
They should. I thought that they would, you know, I'm pretty sure I picked them when we did that the last podcast.
I picked Calgary.
Yeah.
And the last series to talk about today is St. Louis and Minnesota, tied 1-1. Minnesota won the first one, and St. Louis came back, led by Tarasenko. with a three-goal effort today.
Yeah, yeah, and these games have been a little closer, I think, than the scores indicate. You know, Minnesota put in, I think, two empty netters in game one. Although St. Louis got kind of late goals too, but today it was 4-1, but with 8 minutes left in the game, you know, you got 8 minutes left in the third period. It's a 2-1 game, 2-1 St. Louis. Charlie Coyle, if you haven't seen it, man, he just makes a beautiful move to split the D. He hits the crossbar. The puck sort of bounces back, you know, towards the crease, and it hits Jake Allen's back. It rolls down his back. It's for sure going in the net, and David Backes just comes out of nowhere.
Puts on his Superman cape.
Yeah, and just, you know, swats this puck, you know, at the goal line, basically. And, you know, at that point, you got a 2-2 game with 8 minutes left. Anything can happen. But I think with 2 minutes left, I can't remember, was that Tarasenko's third? Oh, it must have been, because it was 3-1, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets that, and then they put in an empty netter with, I don't know, not a lot of time left. So yeah, that was a close game. Dubnyk, that second Tarasenko goal, I think it was, that short side goal, you know, that's kind of a sneaky goal by a real skilled player, but I don't know, man, you can't let in that goal on the short side in a playoff game.
Still, Minnesota should be scoring more.
Yeah, well, they had, you know, they had their chances. Yeah.
But, I mean, they need to put him in. That's what I mean. Yeah. They've got the talent. They're filled with talent. It's just,
yeah.
I mean, they can't be Ryan Dunick the entire series. He's not that type of goalie.
And they, you know, and I don't know if you saw, did you see that bounce? You know, where Suter just basically dumped it in. It hit a stanchion off the glass.
Yeah.
And it went straight to the net. And Jake Allen was just sort of, you know, crawling all around that crease. He had no idea really where it was. And that was another one right on the goal line that, you know, nearly went in. So,
fun, man.
Yeah, heading back to Minnesota, you gotta like Minnesota winning at least one of those games, I think, for sure. So, that's probably the most evenly matched series. I think we might get that. You know, that could be like a seven gamer for sure.
Yeah, I think that one might go long. I think the Capitals New York Islanders series might go long.
Yeah,
and if Crosby can sustain what he's doing, I think that series might go along also.
Yeah, yeah, and Fleury's been good, so you might be able to close the book on that, you know, him not being good in the playoffs.
Hopefully. I mean, he's still got to win. He's got to win at least this series.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that would obviously go a long way.
We're talking about the media
way.
Here. We're talking about the
Yeah, for sure. Opinion. But I think if they do lose, I don't... I mean, based on the way he's played, I don't think you could say that, you know, if you're watching the
They're
games
gonna
and,
say it, though.
And playing.
They're going to say it. He's a scapegoat for the entire team.
Yeah, that's going to
that
be
team's got
unfair.
So many holes, and they keep blaming Fleury for everything.
Yeah, and, you know, this is, again, there's no Letang, there's no Ehrhoff, there's no Mata.
There's no D.
Yeah, so like I said, man, you got to feel pretty good if you're Pittsburgh, I think. Heading back to Pittsburgh, 1-1, you lost a close one. You know, you were really in control today, I think, you know.
They killed him today.
Yeah, and so, yeah, you know.
I guess another one that could go along is the Nashville-Chicago series. If Nashville can sustain, you know, their scoring touch, because they're just popping him in. Granted, Crawford's been bad, and I guess they're starting up with their backup goalie in game number three.
Scott Darling, yeah.
Darling.
I learned last week, he had a real problem with alcohol.
Yeah, like
he's a recovering alcoholic. So, you know, you sort of love
those stories. He's got the best pads in the NHL, I think.
And he's getting one of the best beards. That beard is a thing of beauty.
Oh, he's got to compete with Holtby on that one.
Yeah, you know who has a good beard? And it's the only way I can stand watching him is Kyle Quincy, man. Oh my gosh! Take a look at that guy's beard; it is beautiful.
Did he cheat? Did he start before the playoffs?
Well, so did Markov and Subban. That's why Markov scored his own goal. Yeah, that's what you get, man.
Oh,
starting your playoff beard. That's why Subban got ejected. You don't start your playoff beard early, man.
That's the rule. Follow the rules.
That comes back. You know, that comes back to bite you. Oh yeah. But yeah, a lot of guys have done that. I noticed that too.
Like Subban's hair is getting really thick too.
Oh, I love it. You can tell his helmet is so tight. It's sort of like it's just gonna start sitting on top of that hair of his. Well, you know, man, he's gonna, you know, get the fro, man. That's
he's got a bit of time left, but
yeah. Oh, I want him to do it, man. Just grow out the hair, grow out the beard. Of all the guys, I want to look like 70s, you know, like that 70s. I want him to do that. Yeah, you know.
What a combo with Markov. Yeah, so anyways, that's what's going on. So it's still very early in the series. There's still a lot of hockey, a lot of hockey to go. And anything can happen. But I got a question for you. Which series do you think will end first? Which series do you think? That's it. Give it four or five.
I would say
four or five games, and that's done.
Yeah, I think the Sens have run out of gas.
You think
for
so?
For sure. Yeah, and Winnipeg's in real trouble if they don't win one of these home games. Because
so pick one. Pick a series.
I'm going to go Montreal Sens. I thought the Sens would give it a bit more. And, you know, that first game they did.
What if they put in Anderson?
I think they should. I think you got to get there. I think you might have to do that. Hammond hasn't been very good.
Played horrible hockey.
Yeah,
I'm loving it. I'm happy about it. And I'm happy that they're riding him just out of respect for what he's done. But they got to put Anderson in.
Yeah, and I was reading a lot of stuff. I make a bad habit. I have this bad habit of like reading comments in articles and things like that, or like reading responses to people's Twitter feeds and stuff. And so people were sort of really on Mrazek today, and it was like, no, I mean, yeah, he could have made that save on the Tyler Johnson breakaway, maybe.
That was the backbreaker, though.
That second goal was, it was a fluky bounce, but he sort of went down too early. But, you know, the team really hung him out to dry. I mean,
he played horrible defense today.
He was bad. And every goal they scored was like a team. The team made a defensive mistake, not just one guy. And then people talking about Hammond, and I'm just like, look, man, like, I didn't comment because I don't do that. But I'm in my head, I'm just thinking, Mrazek's a guy he'll be here for the next 10 years. You can say that. For sure. I don't think you can say that about Hammond. You know, is this guy going to be in the league for the next 10 years? Yeah, that's what I mean.
He's going to be in the league next year.
Yeah, I don't...
He's got to sign a contract next year.
Yeah, and someone will overpay for him. And, you know, how good is he really going to be?
Well, he's playing for his contract right now. I'm hoping he does well. But that goal he let in, Pacioretty's power play, I think it was a power play.
That was soft. That was soft.
That was such a 1980s, 1970s type of goaltending.
Yeah. Yeah.
It went right through his legs. He was standing. He didn't even know where the puck was.
Yeah. And Pacioretty's a great hockey player, and he's got a great shot. But
that might have gone in anyways.
Yeah. That's one that he just sort of turns and throws it.
It's just the way it went in. It's just the way it went in.
It sort of went through everything. Yeah.
And the first game, he couldn't move laterally.
Yeah, what was the score? The first game was 4-3, was it?
The score was close. The first game was 4-3.
Yeah, so I mean, he's been letting in 3-4 goals sort of a lot more consistently than he did the first few weeks he was called up, right?
True.
Well,
he was technically speaking the best goalie in the league at that time. His average is actually better than Price's. His GA and his save percentage were better numbers than Price's.
There was one episode we did here on the podcast where I think it was the LA game. Well, I didn't watch the game. I just saw the score, and then I saw the highlights, and I don't think I was really paying attention. Sometimes I just have the highlights on and not the sound because, you know, like the kids and all that stuff where I just can't hear it. And I remember saying like, oh, Lehner was really good, you know, because I knew Anderson was out. And no, it was him. You know, that was sort of the start of it there. And he just went on this tear. But obviously that's not going to last. And you know, he's not like technically that, you know, sound of a goalie. I mean,
so. Yeah, and we're talking about what the NHL is now in terms of goaltending, too.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, anyway, that's kind of obvious, right? Yeah. I mean, it's going to run out, and it looks like it might. For me, that's probably the one. Like I said, I think the Wings will sneak in another win, but that's probably it for them. Winnipeg's in big trouble. They really got to win a game, at least one, in Winnipeg on home ice, because the Ducks, man, they just come back every game and they just win every one goal game. They just keep doing it.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because I really want the Jets to get through.
Yeah, me too, for sure. Or you at least want this series to be, you know. You want it to go long. You want it to go the distance.
Yeah, because I think the fans one, I think the fans deserve it.
Absolutely.
And I think the fans would truly, truly enjoy a bit of a run.
Yeah. Well, it's also just fun watching these guys throw, what was it, like 85 hits?
Oh, man.
You know, in a game.
What a series.
That's
what
fun,
a
too.
Series.
So,
and they're clean, too. That's, I mean, apart from a couple of things, but I think that that series, for as, you know, as insanely physical as it's been quite clean.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, I mean, you've had a few things. And even today at the end of the game, the refs just put the whistles away the last, like, 2-3 minutes. But
which cost the game in some ways.
Yeah, for sure. There could have been a couple penalties there for both teams that, you know, yeah.
Could have, may have, should have, maybe would have.
But don't you feel like, I feel like there's been a lot of power plays, though. You know, there's been a lot. There's been like 4 or 5 for each team in a lot of these games. You know, the Tampa Bay Detroit, I mean, it makes sense because Tampa was skating all over them.
Pittsburgh.
So, you know, the team getting, you know, drawing the penalties has the puck, right? But they had 7 in that first game. Pittsburgh, New York today, there were a lot. I don't think the refs have really put the whistles away like
two penalties.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But yeah, I don't think the refs have exactly put the whistles away, you know, like we all seem to think in the playoffs.
Not yet.
Yeah, anyway, exactly. I mean, it is round one, and
they're just trying to establish the rules. And once people know them, I think they'll start putting the whistles away a little bit.
Yeah, but yeah, you mentioned clean, and the one series that has gotten a little nasty is
Calgary.
That one for sure, but the New York Pittsburgh one gotten a bit nasty. Yandel today, you know,
cross checked somebody.
But, you know,
right,
I mean, Como.
Face.
Well, it was Como, Blake yeah. Como, but he had gotten him. He had got him earlier. So he just got him back, and that's one that I can see getting even a little bit nastier.
Pittsburgh likes to play nasty, and they've got some, you know, some players like...
Oh, man, they've got cheap, dirty. They got some dirty players.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say, but yeah.
Yeah, no.
So, anyways, playoff hockey.
Yeah, good times.